What you've done, how could you fall so far? You should be ashamed of yourself. So I was ashamed of myself. The lies I believe, they got some roots to run deep. I let them take a hold of my life, hold of my life. Standing in your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging on my roots up. be a healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. You spoke the truth into the lies I let my heart believe. Look at me now. Look how you made me new. When the enemy did everything that he could do. Oh, but look what you've done. Suddenly all the shame is gone. I thought I was too broken. Now I see you were breaking new ground inside of me. And on your presence, Lord, I can feel you digging all my roots up. I feel you healing all my wounds up. All I can say is hallelujah. Look what you've done. Look what you've done.
to be here today.
Amen.
A lot of smiling faces. And it's just something about being off work for a few days, right? Yeah, I'm sure the Christmas holiday has something to do with that too. It's interesting how this time of year always has a causes people to be in a better mood. And so we're really happy to be here with you this morning. I want to welcome our newlywed couple, service with us. Amen. It's good to have Dylan and Cindy Burns here with us. Yeah. It's the first time I've spoke that name like that, but amen. And so just happy to have them with us. Just as Brother Daniel said, let's remember those that are traveling, be traveling back to Wheeler family. I want to read a quote or two before we read scriptures, and this comes from God's provided way for this day. I mean, believe God has a provided way for this day. Amen. Brother Ram says, nobody can preach Jesus as the atonement without preaching divine healing. Amen? Amen. Use this one before I have received, Brother Jordan. No one can preach the gospel without preaching divine healing. Brother Ram said, it's just like an animal that's got a hold of you. You don't have to just cut his foot off or cut his arm or whatever he's got around you. Just kill him from the head and you got it. And that's the way Jesus did when he died for our sins. He killed everything that sin ever did. He completely redeemed us. And everybody just try to do this. Don't wait for any certain thing to happen. The thing for you to do is to believe God right now. Believe him right now. Now, there's been all kinds of ministries. God has, in this last day, I believe, has given us everything he's got in his book. Everything he's promised, we've seen. And still, it seems like people can't grasp it. But those who are ordained to grasp it will grasp it. Only those. Blinds one and opens the eyes of the other. And remember, we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not dead, but is alive forevermore. And he's here tonight, or I'll say this morning. We are in his presence, and he's here to confirm and make good any promise that he's made for this day. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anything that he was, he is tonight. So let us believe him now as we read his word and speak of him for the next 15 or 20 minutes. Amen. That's what I want to say. Let's believe his word as we read and speak about him here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 9 through 11. Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. And then I want to read from Matthew chapter 21, verse 19 through 22. Matthew 21. Familiar with this story? When Jesus saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Amen. On the time of this today, speak to your mouth. Just pray for a moment. Lord, we want to give honor to you this morning, give praise to you. Lord, for you sit in a position that only belongs to you. We recognize that this morning. We love you, Lord, and we are your subjects. We ask, God, that you would come this morning and break the bread of life for us. Lord, that you'd speak to every heart. You would inspire us to your word, Lord, and just in your anointing, just to be able to grasp and hold on and move forward in the things, Lord, that you've committed to us in this day. We love you, Lord. We pray for your blessings on each one. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See you. I'm just happy in the Lord this morning. Like I said, I'm happy to see everyone coming in and smiling faces. And, you know, this may sound strange getting off to a start here, but you know, in the Old Testament, we read that there were certain peoples that were not allowed to come into the congregation of the Lord. We know that when you read about it, you can see that foreigners were not allowed. Someone who was not part of Israel could not come and be part of the congregation of the Lord, and that makes sense. We can understand that. But even if you were part of Israel, you could not if you were an idolater, if you were worshiping other gods. That makes sense. You don't want to have sitting among you as believers in God. You wouldn't want something to believe something else out there. And so so there were foreigners that weren't allowed, and idolaters, and even if you were of Israel, if you were illegitimate born, if you're born out of wedlock, your parents were not married, then that child, and for many generations, could not come into the congregation of the Lord. Now, these are there for a reason. These rules are there for a reason. And so we also know that if a man had been injured in such a way that he basically, in essence, was a eunuch, right, he was not allowed to come into the presence of the Lord. And so there were places, and even in the priesthood, as coming in, there were certain things that, like as a priesthood, if you had some sort of physical defect, a broken foot or an arm or, you know, whatever, there were things, and you just simply couldn't come into the presence, into the congregation of the Lord. And, of course, we know that was Old Testament, and we understand that the blood of Jesus Christ under the New Testament takes care of that. This is not, but you know, the congregation in the Old Testament, they represented the church. In their day, they were the church. They were the called out. And so, in essence, in their day, they represented the Lord. They represented the workmanship of the Lord.
Right.
So you can see other nations would be able to come and would be able to look at Israel, and God would want, when people would look at Israel, he would want to see something there that was a good representation of him, of his management, of his program, of who he is, and what, you understand what I'm saying. And so among those people there, to be a good representation, there was a certain dedication that was required. There was a consecration to God and him alone, and they couldn't be like the rest of the nations of the world. We've talked about that so many times, how that they couldn't live, and God would, couldn't live like the rest of the world, because God was going to use them to redeem the rest of the world, right? And so it's the same today. And so we can see that there. And so there was a certain consecration there, and there was a wholeness. Now, when I mean whole, I mean complete. There was a wholeness that had to be represented there. And with wholeness represented ability. Ability. So all those things are their part of it. And in order to be a good representation for the Lord and for his ministry and for his workmanship, then all those things, God had rules and things there. And so it would be able to speak of him and to speak of his character. And so we realize that we know that a man's character is reflected in his work. Right? Anybody who's bought a car from Brother Daniel can say, hey, I know the character of the man because of the way that he does business. Right. A carpenter, someone who does work, the quality of the work that speaks of the character of the person.
Right.
Really has a lot to say when you look out and see where people just don't want to do their job anymore.
Right.
Well, it's a character issue.
Right.
Right? And so we know that God's workmanship speaks of him, speaks of his quality and his character and who he is. And so what about in the way he made us? Could you see God in that? And so we know that when God made us, he made us to have a certain amount of certain members to our body, physical bodies, you know, eyes and ears and nose and mouth and neck and head and arms and legs and all those things there. He made us to have those things because in his infinite wisdom and the way he wanted us to be made in his image and to represent him, he gave us all those things. He gave us reproductive organs. And with all that comes ability, right? Comes the ability to be and do and what God would want us to be so that we could represent him. And so with that, we are whole. When we come and we're created by him with all these things, we're whole and we're able to do and to be. And this is the way God wanted us. He wanted us to be with two arms and two eyes and two ears and one mouth.
Right.
Right. He wanted us to be able to walk around, and he wanted us to have the ability to subdue the earth and be over it and so forth. Because we're the top of the chain. We are the top creation that finally looked like him.
Right.
That he could say was in his image. Didn't say the animals was in any image or whatever, but man is.
Right.
And so he kept building and building. And so we become a representation of his handiwork. And so without all the members of our body, if there's something there that's broken or something that's missing or something like that, then we're handicapped.
Right.
In other words, we're limited. We can't fully be what God wants us to be. If you have something wrong, like in my shoulder right now, it hurts to move it backwards very far. That means I'm limited. I'm not able to fully express what God wanted me to be in the first place. In all motions and be able to use this body for his, to represent him. And so he made us this way. And if we have something lacking, then we're not whole. We're not complete. And so when you look back and you see all the people who could not be into the congregation of the Lord, like a man who couldn't reproduce, right? Because that's not conducive of God. Everything about God is life.
Right,
and so you understand that he wanted those people to represent him, and he made us and our bodies to be the same way, that we could be in his image and represent him. And so we don't need any more members to our bodies than what we've got.
Right,
we don't need to be anything different. We don't. I've thought for many times throughout life, I wish I could run as fast as a cheetah. Right? How many has ever wanted to be able to run really fast like an animal? See? At least a couple of us have raised our hands. But, you know, but God didn't want us. He didn't want us to be able to run like a cheetah that fast. And so I've thought maybe I'll get more hands on this. How many of you ever wished you could fly like a bird? Yeah, there we go. Wouldn't that be awesome? But God didn't want us to do that. God did not want us to fly like a bird like that, right? So he didn't give us wings. And you know, nowadays, I wish I had the memory of an elephant. Because, you know, you get older, you start forgetting things. Brother Daniel's shaking his head. He agrees with that. You know, but God didn't make us like that.
Right.
There's a lot of times I wish I could roar like a lion. You know, somebody just, you know what I'm saying? Somebody pull out in front of you and just, or whatever. You know, just, there's a guy at work. His name is Dave, and when he sneezes, it rattles the roof. It sounds like when I was a kid, there was a show that was Land of the Lost, and they had this big dinosaur on there. Alice, I think, was a dinosaur. But that roar of that's the way this guy's sneeze sounds like. Yeah. Roar! It's not a chew like that. It's a roar. And it just scares everybody. Nobody knows when it's coming, and he does it quite often. And if he hears this, I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying, sometimes you just wish you had the voice of a lion. And I don't know if any of y'all have ever heard a lion roar, but I'm going to tell you what, it'll put the fear into you, you know? And so we know that. But God didn't make us like that. He didn't want us to have all those things. You know, and all those different animals have their limitations. They all have their vulnerabilities. But they're all made like God wanted them to be.
Right.
And we're made like what God wanted us to be. And so But these things I say this, these are like our spiritual makeup. You know, and so God wants us to be whole in body and in spirit, mentally, physically, spiritually. God wants us to be whole. He has an image of the way he created us, and that's the way he wants us, to be whole. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, I think she may have it up there. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health," right? "Even as your soul prospers." God wants you to prosper in your body, in your health, and in your soul, mentally, spiritually. God wants us. And so if there's something lacking, you know, if a person is fully equipped spiritually like God would want them to be, then there's ability there for them to express and be a good image, good representation of God and of his handiwork. God does not want weaklings walking around and, you know, maimed and unhealthy and you know, right, ignorant. He wants people that's a good representation of him.
Right.
And so when I say ignorant, I know that there's people in Africa, but you understand, he there's a certain representation there that he wants his people to be, that would represent him, and you can see that in the Old Testament. And so he wants us to be whole and be able to prosper both physically and mentally, spiritually. And we understand that it's the fall of man that takes those things away, that messes those up. The fall of man, sin came in, and sin brings sickness.
Right.
Sin brings all kinds of mutations. It brings all kinds of hybrid stuff. It brings all kinds of things, pulls away from that original image of God that God had made us. And so, but how many know that Jesus came to reverse that fall? By his suffering on Calvary, by his sacrifice, he reverses the effects of the fall.
Right?
Right? And so he made us to be the way he originally wanted it, but the fall come along and took those things away from us, and yet God wanted us to have it back. And so Jesus came and walked up Calvary's hill and paid the price so that we could be restored back to that original condition. Amen. That's what the gospel is. And you can't preach being saved without preaching being healed. Because
right,
it's all the one thing. You remember there in Houston, whenever that debate was going on with the Baptist minister, Brother Brim, about divine healing. And that's what Brother Bosworth came up and said, the seven compound names, redemptive names of Jehovah, you know, are those applied to Jesus, right? And they all are. You can't put one there and not the other. So he's our healer. He's our shield, our buckler. He's our peace. He's our everything.
Right.
Right? And it all. And so you can't just have one but not the other. So because the Baptists were saying, oh, we believe, or this guy was, we believe in being saved, but this divine healing stuff is nonsense. Well, you can't do one without the other.
Right.
And so, because remember, when Jesus walked up Calvary, he killed the thing in the head. Like we read in the quote there.
Yeah.
And so the fall take those things away, but Jesus brought them back to us and provided it. And so therefore they belong to us. Mm-hmm. Everything that he purchased for us is ours.
Right.
Absolutely. And Satan cannot keep you from having those promises. There may be a time factor there. There's a faith factor. There's a waiting on God. God wants us to fight for these things, though. The point I'm getting at is he wants us to fight for what he's purchased for us. He has restored it,
right,
but you've got to fight for it. You've got to go after it. You've got to believe it, that he's actually provided those things for you and go for them. We understand that born-again believers have, I mean, real born-again believers have the Spirit of Christ in them. That's what makes them a Christian. Like I quoted the other day, the scripture said, if you don't have the Spirit of him, Christ in you, you're none of his. That's what makes you a Christian, because you have a new birth. A new spirit comes in. And so believers have the Spirit of him, and so that Spirit comes in, and that Spirit agrees with God's Word.
Right.
So that Spirit that's in you wants you to be whole.
Sure.
It wants everybody around you to be healed.
Right.
It wants you to be victorious over every enemy that comes your way.
Right.
Right? That's the real life of a Christian wants the Word of God to manifest.
Right.
A real Christian cannot stand it whenever they see that there's portions of God's Word that could be manifest among people and is not. You can't rest day or night. It just digs at you all the time when you know that there's a people and there's a world out there that could benefit from the gospel and they're not fully in those things. And so even in our own little group, we desire to see God's healing and his victory and all things among all of us. That's what a Christian is. A house is divided, can't stand. You can't be a Christian and want something different than the program of God. And God's program is to save that which was lost. He is a healer. He is a keeper. He is a guide. He is a savior. And so the Spirit of Christ in his people can't rest knowing that there are subjects and there are people who could benefit from all that he is, and they're not experiencing those benefits yet.
Right.
You can't. Now, something gets in the way and, you know, and cools you down. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's a real Christian. Can't just wants to see God manifest in amongst people. So because of that, because we as Christians, then I'm saying real Christians who are not beat down by Laodicea where they're half asleep or something. I'm talking about Christians that are on fire for God. That spirit burns within them. You can't have fire in your bosom and not know it. You have something in you that drives you and want to see the manifestation of God's word. And so because of that, then we are for everything, for any program, anything that we can do to help benefit, we are for that, for the gospel.
Yeah.
And anything that is against the gospel, we're against that.
Right.
That's just natural. If you love something, you'll protect it. And if you don't care for something, you'll cast it to the side. Right? And so we want to act upon anything we can do that can get people into the presence of God where they can have an experience of God and begin to reap these benefits of what he did on Calvary. And anything, any program that comes along that tries to take away from that and water that down and pull away from it and put people's attention on something else, we're against that. Because we know there's only one way to be saved. There's only one healer. There's only one way to get there.
Right.
And that's what we want for people.
Right.
So we fight for it. We fight for every physical and spiritual promise that God has given to us. Now, I say all this in the light of, I didn't read the scripture, but there's a couple of places there in the book of Revelation where it talks about, now, here is the patience and faith of the saints, where he's trying to wear out the patience of the saints.
Yeah.
Satan tries to wear out the patience, get you to where you're not patient waiting on the Lord.
Right.
Excuse me. That's what he tries to do. He wants to wear you out.
Right.
Where you don't keep pressing on, you don't keep fighting. And so that's what he tries to do. He's a master at it.
Right.
And so we want to keep fighting for every physical and spiritual promise for whole bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture said the children of Israel, as they were traveling, there was not a feeble one among them.
Right.
That was a good representation of God who was watching over them.
Right.
God does not want feeble people among us.
Right.
He wants you healed. He wants my shoulder healed. He wants Brother Tim's neck healed. He wants Brother Dan, whatever he had. He wants all of us healed. Because
right.
He's a healer.
Right.
If nobody's healed, and it's not, he don't represent, it doesn't show what he is. Mm-hmm. So he wants that for you. He wants people to be healed in their bodies and in their spirits. He wants your families healed. He wants your experience good spiritually. Full rounded experiences in the Lord where you're trusting in his word and not on sensations and whatever.
Right.
He wants you to have the full package, a whole experience in him. And so we don't ever want to stop fighting for those things.
Right.
And so that's why we want people to get We want to get people to a real experience in the Holy Ghost. There's so many fakes, so many things out there. We want to get them to real experience. As the prophet said, I'm afraid we're not getting them to Christ. We get them to a creed. We get them to something like that. We want to get them to Christ. We don't want to get them to a creed. We don't want to get them to a message creed.
No.
We don't want to, you know, you can have quotes and not really have
right. What
you need. We want to get them to a real experience because we know that once that real experience of Christ comes in them, then they'll have the same desire for the gospel and for the gospel alone, for that to be spread abroad. That is the Father's will, is to do, to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yeah.
And so that's why we want people to have a real experience in the Lord. And so a whole experience that cannot be reversed. We need people to have a new birth, because when some, I keep saying this over and over, when something's born, you can't unbirth it.
Right.
It's born. Right? You might, if an animal's born, you might kill it, but you can't kill eternal life. And when people get a real experience where the real birth of, then they're birthed into the kingdom of heaven, and there's a nature there that agrees with the word of God and does not deny the word of God, and especially the word for the day that they live in,
right.
and will not back up on any promise for the day that they live in, right? They didn't really have a promise in Luther's day for a body change, but we do.
Right.
Right? Because it wasn't time. They didn't know that. But we can look back and know that it wasn't for their day. But we can see now it is for our day. We're approaching that now. And so we want people to have an experience in them where they long for and they cry out for and they fight for the promises of God for the day and not get off in left field into something else. So then we want them to be able to fight for the things that belong to them and for the things that belong to those around them in their fellowship. Mm-hmm. And so, because all of those things are included in the atonement, right? There's not one thing missing out of it. It's all in there.
Right.
God intends for us to fight for the things that he's provided for us.
Right.
If you go back into the Old Testament, you can see this. God did not tell them, now, y'all wait right here, and I'll go down there, and I'll destroy all the enemies for you, and then you can come in and take the land. That's not what he did.
Right.
God said, you go fight, and I'll be there with you, and I'll help you.
Right.
Same thing today. He ain't telling you, I'm going to take care of it all for you. He's telling you, you fight, and I'll come right alongside you, and I'll confirm my word, right? I'll confirm my word right along beside you while you're, but if you stand back and, oh, you know, I don't want to go, then you're, there you are.
Right.
See, it is your effort to fight for these promises that pulls the trigger on God's power to come and work on your behalf.
Yeah.
Right? When you're speaking his word and you're preaching for his word and you're sharing his word and you're living for his word, you're unleashing God's power to come upon and fight right alongside you and give you the victories that he has told you can have, whether it's physical healing, spiritual healing, family healing, financial healing, whatever it is, he will fight right alongside you as long as you're fighting.
Right.
But if you don't fight, you tie his hands. Amen. And so, he intends for us to fight and keep fighting and to do our part. You've heard it mentioned, you know, the armor of God, you read it, read about it, and there is no covering for your back. Because God doesn't intend for you to turn and run.
Right.
He wants you to face the enemy head on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You turn and run, they can shoot you in the back or something like that with an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants us to fight for the. So how do we fight for these things? We pray. We seek God. We push for the kingdom of heaven. We tell people about it. We believe it. We speak it.
Right.
We do it relentlessly.
Right.
Because that's what matters the most. Amen?
Yeah.
That's how you do it. You seek God. You live for his kingdom. You push for everything. Pray, read, confess.
Yeah.
And so, we're going to get out of really early today. At least I'm trying. We do live in a day and age called Laodicea.
Right.
And Laodicea, its effect is to make people lukewarm. It is not to make people cold. It's not to make them hot, but it's to make them lukewarm.
Yeah.
You know, when I was over in Turkey, went over there to the ruins of Laodicea. You've heard this before, but some may not. They had baths. They had the pools there. The natural types, the same God who gives us this Bible, created everything. And so everything is testified in his. Hierapolis, I guess, that mountain there that's got all those waters coming, hot water coming off there, and the whole mountain is white from the minerals. I can show you videos where the people were out there wading in it, walking in it, and taking baths in it. It had big pools and stuff. But here's the ruins of Laodicea. And you look, and there's that mountain, that white mountain. It's believed for them that believe to have healing in it. It's all natural type. That Mount Christ, holiness, righteousness, white, and the healing waters that come from him right down. And right here in the ruins of Laodicea, they had all that right there, that everything they needed was there, but down there in ruins. You see the type there? And so we live in this age of Laodicea, and so that hot water would come down, and so they could have a hot bath, and they could have cold, and in between was a lukewarm.
Right.
And you could move from one to the other.
Yeah.
Right? It's natural. So when God wrote that, he knew. He knew what was there in that natural city of Laodicea, and he knew how that would be a type of this age.
Right.
How that what would be present. If we could look with the eyes of a Christian, we could look and we could see the mountain of God and the glory and the healing waters coming from the Word of God and from Christ Jesus. It's all available right here in Laodicea. We have access to it, but we can let something else cool us off.
Right.
And so that was the curse there on Laodicea. It was not because they weren't hot or cold. They were lukewarm. In other words, still religious. Still calling themselves Christians. Got a little bit of warmth to me from there, but I'm also mixed with some of the world. And that's the one that's deceptive.
Right.
Because the guy that lives like a devil, he's not going to trick nobody, right?
Right?
But the ones who are halfway. And so that's the one that's a problem. And that's what the world is so full of today. And that's what Satan wants to put in your experience. And so in that experience, yeah, you're aware that God is a healer, but you don't fight for it.
Right.
You're aware that he'll save your family, but you don't fight for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Somehow we got to bring this gospel down to where it means what I'm dealing with today.
Right.
And how Satan's fighting for me today and what God has for me today and for you today. You understand?
Right.
That's where we're at. We're in Laodicea. We're fighting to try and stay on fire for God. But the world and the culture want you to cool off where, yeah, you're a Christian and you're aware of it, but you just don't fight for the things, for the promises of God like you should. And so you can be a Christian and know and want it, but yet just don't quite have the oomph to get up and fight about it every day and meet the enemy head on every day.
Right?
Right? That's exactly where we're at. So, we don't want to cool off.
No.
We don't want to let Satan wear out our patience. Get us where we say, oh, I just don't want to do it. You got to.
Right.
No pain, no gain. That's spiritual too.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. With the knowledge of knowing the promise of God, that if you keep fighting for what his word has given to you, the promises, he will come right alongside you and start killing those enemies for you. Right with you. Remember in the scriptures where God rained hailstone while they're out there fighting? And while they were fighting, God, hailstone started coming and killing the enemy. And the scripture said that the hailstones killed more of the enemy than the Israel did. Right? But now if they stood back up there and said, well, okay, God, you take care of it, the hailstones wouldn't have come. But see, like Joshua, he's out there and he's fighting in battle and he knows he's got the commission and he knows he's doing what God has called him to do, and he's running out of time. And in that commission, trying to do what God wants him to do, doing the will of God, pushing for what God has commissioned, doing all that, and he runs up against the obstacle of the sun going down, and he knows that enemy, if the sun goes down, they'll get back together, and the battle will be that much harder the next day. And so under inspiration, while he's trying to do what God told him to do, trying to fulfill his commission, and God is moving there, and he's out there fighting like that, and while that's going on, under inspiration, he says, "Sun, stand still." And the sun stopped, and he was able to continue and finish the battle. God right there alongside him.
Yeah.
There's something about being in the will of God and doing what God has commissioned you. It gives you that access to those moments of inspiration where you can speak and you can call it. And the scripture said that God, there was never a time that God had hearkened to a man like that.
Right.
Those things are in there for a reason. For us to know and understand that there's something about the soldier that will keep fighting and keep fighting. Yes, you fall down every day, but you get back up. So I keep saying an invincible army, that's not one that falls, that doesn't fall. That is one who just keeps getting back up. That's the kind of army God has. And so we don't want to let Satan wear us out and wear out our patience where we quit fighting. God has given to us our children, our grandchildren. If the Lord tarries and my grandchildren have children, them too.
Right.
He's given us healing over every disease, victory over every enemy. It's all in the atonement.
Right.
It's all there. And if we're not there, then we're not really perfectly representing all of what God is yet. Because he is a healer.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to go battle through, because, you know, if there was anything sick, then he couldn't be a healer. But now that something is sick and then being is healed after that, then that, there you have it, see? So we have to come through the battles. But those victories are there, brother, sister. They are there, and we've got to fight for them. Know that they're yours. Believe it.
Yeah.
And fight for it. And don't cool off. Just keep confessing his word. Mm-hmm. We want to be like Caleb. You know, he's 80 years old, I think it was, and he's like, give me my mountain.
Yeah.
I'm just as able now to go out there and fight that enemy as I was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? We would be thinking, oh, it's time to slow down. Could you get somebody to go down there and take care of that for me? That's not God's program.
No.
Right?
That's not God's. Brother Rem talked about many times when he was like, man, I'm tired. I'm going to slow down. And he said, then brother, sister, kid, come on. Glory to God. They come in. This old people. And they were just, back in Pentecost, there was an old man and woman right here at coming this building right here when we were here. I don't even remember their name. Boy, but they were so full of joy, just bubbling over. Praise God, they come in, and it wasn't faith. They absolutely loved the Lord, and I mean, they just, everything around them was just, you know, you just enjoyed being around them. And so they was telling one night, said they were fixing to go home after service, and said, yeah, we'll go home and go to bed, you know. And they said, the woman said, yeah, my daughter's their children was over there visiting, and her and her husband said, well, we gotta get up and go to bed. You know, it was like 9 o'clock, and her children was like, oh, what's the hurry? What do you mean you gotta go to bed? You're retired. You know, what do you mean? Oh, we gotta get up early tomorrow. What for? And they're like, because. We got to get up at 4 o'clock because there's prayer that's got to be made. We got to cry out to God. We got to believe him and push and press. See, and there it was. They were retired and they could have done whatever. But to them, to get up early and hit the floor and pray and seek God That was their life, and they loved it.
Right?
Right? Uh-huh. They loved serving God. What? It's just something about seeing those enemies fall.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. That happens when you push and you press for the things that God has given. God's not asking you to press for something that's not in His Word. But when it's in there, He expects us to believe it.
Right.
He expects us to live and do everything we can in our part and then stand still and watch Him, watch what He does.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen. And so, He's given us these things that are all in the atonement. And so we want to be like Caleb. Give me my mountain. Keep fighting. We want to be like David, who ran to meet Goliath. You know, I think of it all the time. You probably, every one of us, you stop and you ask yourself about what you're going through and what things in your life you're battling with. And if you're like me, there are things that look completely like a Goliath-David situation.
Right.
How is that ever going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the promise of God says it will.
Right.
See what I'm saying? You have Goliaths facing you.
Sure.
And mocking you. And making fun of you. And defying your God. Bothering you. In your mind day and night. Trying to get you to doubt and fear. And make your knees tremble.
Yeah.
You fight those things all the time. Whether it's physical, spiritual, your family, your job. Whatever it is constantly ridiculing you. Trying to make you doubt.
Right, yeah.
It's going on all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's a Goliath. But we don't want to be afraid of him.
No.
We want to meet him head on.
Yeah.
Go. And so David ran. The scripture said he ran to meet Goliath.
Yeah.
You talk about confidence.
Uh-huh.
He ran to meet him. Scripture said he stopped and he gets five smooth stones out of the brook or whatever. You know, stones are revelations, right? Stones, rocks are revelations.
Right.
Here's a rock, a revelation, and it's been laying in the water, smoothed over, over time. It's a product of time. You take a rock that's all jagged, it's got all kinds of crazy things sticking out, and you go to hurl that thing, and you don't know which way it's going to go because of all the wind resistance. It's just, but you take a smooth stone.
Yeah.
So a revelation that the waters of time have moved over, and it's proven, and it's honed. David picked up those, and that's what he used to go against Goliath.
Yeah.
We want to be like David and run to meet our enemies, and we want to pick up these revelations that God has given to us, these stones, and throw that at your enemy.
Right?
Right.
Throw the revelation, because remember, you know, the gates of hell cannot prevail against revelation. That's where defeating your enemy lies, right there. That's where he cannot survive when you come against him with revelation. And so this is typed out of when David. And so you take a revelation that's lasted the ages of time. You take that and use that against your enemy.
Uh-huh.
And when God drops into your heart that I'm a child of God, and by His stripes I'm healed, and I'm part of this end time bride, and whatever it is that out of His Word that God has spoke to you, and it has shook you in your soul, and it's made a difference in you. You know it's right. And you know it'll always be right. Then when you come up to fight the enemies, you reach over and grab those revelations that apply to that enemy, and you throw it at him.
Right.
And it'll destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
By revelation.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, why does God use revelation? Why didn't you say, just read my word, and there it is, and if you could mentally comprehend it, then you can have it.
Right.
It don't work that way. God, because he hides himself in simplicity, reveals himself in the same, right?
Yeah.
So God is there, and he gives his children access to those things while the rest of the people just in their carnal thinking. All they see is just the letter of the word. But God's people, by spirit, the spirit of Christ in them, who's in sync with the program, gives them access to the revelations of that word. Same word that others just see intellectually, and they can't have access. But you have access to hidden power, overcoming power that is in that revelation. You've got access to it. Why does God do that? Because he wants you to use it. Because that's how you're going to overcome. By the revelation of Jesus Christ in your life. That's how you overcome. He wants you to use those things. You can't give a revelation to someone else. That's why we should pray for revelation. Right? I know I can't meet the enemy with just intellect. Intellectually quoting or something or whatever. Intellectually. But brother, sister, when there's something down inside that stirs, that's different. Right? Something from the Holy Spirit. See, we don't want to stop fighting. Because, brother, sister, we're almost there.
Yeah.
Amen. We're almost home. You know, a lot of times in traveling, you've probably done this too. A lot of times in traveling, we're gone and travel for hours and hours, and the children will say, are we almost there? And you know what I'd say? Almost halfway. We drive for another 2 hours. Are we almost there? Almost halfway. You know, and to the children, that probably, what does he mean, almost halfway? And I don't know what it means, but the point is that we're not there yet. We're not sure just how much further it is, but we know we've made progress. We know we're moving. We're getting closer. We might not be able to see exactly, but we know we're moving that direction. We don't want to stop fighting. We don't want to stop and just settle down and be lukewarm. We want to fight for these things because God is going to have a people who get a body change that are not a feeble people. They're not feeble. Amen. You remember, he is the high priest of your profession.
Right.
To profess, confess is the same thing. He is the high priest of our profession. And that is to profess or confess God's word. Mm-hmm. Not our word, not our thoughts, not the thoughts of Mr. Dobson or somebody else, but the word of God. Mm-hmm. Especially it's a revelation revealed to you. Right? Mm-hmm. So, he is the high priest of your profession. So speak it. Mm-hmm. Speak what God's word has said. You will not find in this Bible where the Bible says that you have to stay your whole life defeated.
Right.
Your whole life without healing.
No.
No, it's not in there. God wants you to be a representation of his workmanship. His workmanship is that he's a healer.
Sure.
That he's a savior. He's a keeper. He's a guide. He's a comforter.
Amen.
So that as people interact with you, that no matter what you're going through, there's a peace about you that they recognize as man.
Yeah.
Everybody else will be grumbling, but these people have peace and faith and confidence. I want to be like that because that's a good representation of the Lord.
Right.
So it's not in the word. So you want to confess what the word says. By his stripes I'm healed.
Right?
Right? Five is the number of grace. G-R-A-C-E. F-A-I-T-H, J-E-S-U-S, right? God will heal my body. God has saved my children. God will give me victory. You see what I'm saying? Everything I just said, there's Bible for.
Right?
So speak it. He's the high priest of your profession. The scripture says, so that if you're down here and you are confessing in agreement with his word, he is able to go and intercede on your behalf and bring to pass. Like the prophet said, he will make your body line up with your confession.
Right.
I've seen it happen.
Sure.
I've experienced it. I have experienced it.
Uh-huh.
I told you, this might be personal, but our life is there to tell others. And I had years I couldn't have a bowel movement. Normal. And it was, you can imagine, years of it. life will vouch for that. But while I was in all the pain and all that, time and time again, day after day, I would say, God, I thank you because you healed me of this issue. And it was here. But you know what? One day, boom. Right? No change in diet. No change in medicines or nothing like that. Just done. See, he is the high priest of our profession. You know, we serve a God that's eternity, eternal. He doesn't tell you, you confess this for 5 days and then it'll be done. He leaves that part. You don't know. We don't know how much further, but we're almost halfway.
Right.
We are moving in that direction. Why? Because we keep moving and we keep confessing, and we know we are approaching that day of our healing, of our body change, of our families coming in. You can't back up and just hit and miss. The scripture said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Right. Let not that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. I'll be honest with you. I apologize. Lord, forgive me for being double-minded.
Yeah.
Right.
We might as well be honest with ourselves and with God. Because he knows we're only fooling ourselves, so let's be honest with him.
Yeah.
Right? So, speak it. Because here's the thing. Once you speak the word of God, once you speak in agreement with us, when you confess it, by his stripes I'm healed. Be specific. Lord, I thank you for healing my shoulder. I thank you for healing my knee. I thank you for healing me of this or that. I thank you for saving my children. Confess. And once you speak that, you realize, like we read the quote, now let's believe his word as we read it and as we talk about it. Let's believe this. When you speak words, those waves go out. And you might not be able to hear it, but if you had an instrument sensitive enough, you could hear those words or keep traveling.
Sure.
Right.
That's right. Like the waves on a pond.
Mm-hmm.
They might get so low that you can't see them, but God can. And you speak those words, speak to your mountain. You speak those words and they go out and God hears that and so does Satan. And maybe 3 seconds after you've said it, there's no more, we can't perceive that that's been spoken, but those waves are there. I you understand, because God heard it. God sees it. God acts upon it. Just like whenever a virgin shall conceive. Those words circled the earth for hundreds of years, however long it was, until the time was right and those words came to the womb of Mary. You have to understand it. And so when you speak God's word, you release a power that begins to move, and Satan can't stop it. It can't be unspoken. You see? So speak it. Speak in agreement with his word. Send forth that word of God in your confession, in your testimony, and he goes to work on that behalf. It might be a while. Who knows? We don't care. We're just going to keep pressing on because we're moving.
Yeah.
We're getting closer and closer to these things because God can't fail, and we're staying with him. It's like the testimony of the two women that lived on the same street, and they both pronounced healed, and you know, I don't know how many days or weeks it was, but one day, the angel of the Lord came through that neighborhood and said, there you go, both of them healed at the same time. God has a time. And so, once you speak that word, it can't be pulled back. These things are typified in the scriptures, that when a king would speak a decree, couldn't be altered. Could not be taken back. Are you royalty?
No.
Right? Should royalty be going around just blah, 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 you know, just, hey, whatever? No, you speak carefully what's right.
Right.
You speak what you project, what you want. As a leader, and you have an issue in your kingdom, you're like that, and you're like, you speak words to cause that kingdom to come into line. To what it is you speak. So you speak what you want, according to the word, agreement to the word, speak that, project that, speak to your mountain for it to be moved, speak those things, and it will come to pass, but you've got to stay pat with it. Okay, you understand that? And so, but speak it, especially according to Revelation. You know, in the third pool, we're talking about spoken word, third pool spoken word, and so, remember, Brother Bram said, hey, he said it was God that came and said, yes, he, you know, it wasn't me that said, well, I'll just speak this, but God said, you speak it. And I just say all that to say that to live our lives in such a way to position ourselves in the economy of God and in the sync with God's program, fighting like Joshua did, so that that inspiration could come on us at any moment, that God could come upon you and cause you to speak it, that third pool, and do something that you and yourself would maybe not even imagine. See, there's no limit. So, if the scripture we read there where God's word says his word will not go out void, but it will accomplish, right? Once his word is spoken. Then what about the word spoken by sons of God who are learning to be like Father? If we are sons of God and we're coming into through tutorship to come to maturity, where are we headed? What's going to be the condition of that son who's adopted, who's now placed in power? What's he going to be like? Totally different than dad? Or is he going to be like that? You see what I'm saying? So if his word, when he speaks it and it won't go out void, what about us? Shouldn't we be coming to that place where we're arriving at that, where when we speak, it won't come back void? Right. But you can't speak contrary to his word. You can't. You got to be like Father.
Right?
Tutors is talking about being disciplined to that which is right, so that you do and you speak and you act just like Father. It's where we're headed. We have to come to that. Don't let our word just push. I'm one of the world's worst. I'm sure just something aggravates you and I'm like, man, that's not God's word. I don't speak that. Speak that which is right. Do that which, because God's tools that he uses, the way he creates with them, the way he does that, is by his word.
Right.
He's creator. And we as his family, he's bringing us to where we can share. That's why Satan don't like it, because he's a perverter. But God's a creator, and God's sharing that with his people, with his children,
right,
moving us into that direction. And so, but it's a discipline to come to that. So we want to position ourselves so that we're in the plan of God, that third pool could strike us, and God could say, speak it. And at some point, one day, once we come to that, then that's just who we are. We're just going, and we will just speak once we reach that point and our body change. And by the way, I don't know if I said that to this the other day, but when a son comes to adoption fully placed with power, there's work for him to do. He ain't just going to go back and prop his feet up. That means he's got something to do. So what are we going to do? God's bringing us to adoption to share and be like him. And he's got something for us, right? You know, the prophet told us that you're not just going to be sitting out there floating on a cloud, right? Things that are to be, go listen to it. No, there's things that we're going to be doing. Amen. So, you know, Israel, when they were at the Red Sea, they had already been commissioned. God was already with them, said, we're taking you to the promised land. They'd already been commissioned. And they get to an obstacle there, and they're crying to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Even Moses. Oh, no. Now we're hemmed in. We had revival yesterday. Pharaoh, man, we whipped him, and here we go. And now Pharaoh's refortified himself and coming at us. Mm-hmm. And we see no way out. No, they were already commissioned. And God said, what are you doing? Why are you crying about? I've already told you. I've already told you. You're going to the other side, just like the disciples in the boat, Right? So let's go to the other side. And then Jesus is going to take a nap. He ain't worried. Right. And a storm comes up. He's snoozing like, man, ain't going to have nothing going to keep us. The disciples go freaking out. You know, hey, they come down. Aren't you afraid we're perishing? What? Mm-hmm. We're not perishing. He said, you're going to the other side. Sure. He said you have victories. Right. He told you, the children of Israel, I'm taking you to the promised land. Moses is going to take, you know, and you're crying? Mm-hmm. No, when you know that you're in commission. Right? He commissioned you. You know that he's already gave you victories in your life. You've already overcome a lot of things in your life. Don't you know that he that's begun a good work will finish it?
Right.
So when you know that he's done things for you, then say, the same God that destroyed that lion and that bear will give this one to me too, this Philistine. Right?
Right.
See, he'll fight with you as you go, give you victory, but you've got to keep fighting. Don't let Laodicea make you lukewarm. Amen?
Amen.
Speak and go forward.
Right.
Speak to your mountain and it'll move.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just pray and let Brother Tim come. I told you we'd get out a little bit early. Lord Jesus, you said in your word, Lord, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Lord, you said that at the tail end of that story or parable of the woman, the widow woman, asking for an unjust king, a ruler, to avenge her adversaries. And he didn't care for people or her, but he didn't want to be wearied. And Lord, you gave us that example so that we would understand that if we keep pressing day and night, seeking you, pressing for your kingdom, Lord, that you will quickly come at the appointed time and avenge our adversaries. Lord, that's what this sharing this word this morning with your people is, to encourage it, Lord, to fight the good fight of faith. Don't stop now. Pray, God, that these words that I have spoken this morning, coming from you, Lord, that you would just share these things deep down in their hearts. May it just inside that your Holy Spirit would work and cultivate this. And Lord, that they would just see greater victories in their life. Keep fighting. We love you, Lord. Just pray for each one. In Jesus' name. Speak to your mountain.
You do miracles so great.
prayer. We'd love to pray for you if you, anybody needs it. Amen. We love you. Appreciate each one of you coming out.
Amen.
Holiday season, a lot of things going on, and everybody's busy and that sort of thing, but take the time to come to the house of the Lord, and I know the Lord will bless you for doing that.
Amen.
And so, God richly bless you. We can sing this again if anybody needs prayer. Brother Daniel, I'll be praying. They will pray with
you. You deserve the glory.